Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:37 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 6th. And the interesting news item today with Jeff Bezos basically saying that he was going to sell $1 billion worth of Amazon stock a year. And that was to fund his Blue Origin rocket ship project. Well, you know, whether that is a vanity project or not, it will time will tell. But there is nothing like the CEO of a major company saying that he's going to sell $1 billion worth of shares to drive down the price, because it increases supply. He has been holding onto that stock for a long time, and the fact that he is now selling it, well, that represents a new source of supply into a market that has rallied really pretty impressively over the last couple of weeks. So there is an increasing possibility that we're going to see a pullback in consolidation by Amazon. And because it has this overbought condition relative to the trend mean, there is ample potential for it to pull back and still remain within the context of a medium-term uptrend. I think that, you know, so far the markets have been, despite there was a bit of a hiccup yesterday, there was a pretty sanguine attitude towards the prospect of the Fed beginning to reduce the size of its balance sheet. And part of the reason for that is because if they are reducing the size of the balance sheet, there is an anticipation that they will be a bit slower about raising rates. And part of the reason for that is because the Treasury has to issue all those bonds, and if bonds are going to be issued with higher yields, then that represents a higher cost for the Treasury, and that would have a deflationary impact. So there is the prospect that we'll have somewhat quieter time in bond markets. But of course, there is the broader impact of exactly why they are doing these things. And I dug up this report from May of 2015. Let me just make sure that I get that the right size for you. And it was from Double Line. It was a presentation that Jeff Gundlach made that I had the pleasure of attending. And there were a number of charts in it that really stood out to me. And these are the ones that really piqued my interest. This is the maturity profile of high yield bonds, and we can see that there's a fair share of bonds reach maturity in the 2017 to 2018 period, around about $150 billion worth of bonds. But in the period from 2019 to 2020 and then through to 2022, we're talking about the prospect of $700 billion being refinanced in the high yield market. And the interest rate at which that occurs is going to be pretty meaningful, because a lot of that debt would have been issued at some of the tightest spreads and lowest absolute yields that some of these high yield companies had ever seen. And so that is one part. So we're talking about approximately $700 billion between 2019 and 2022. But then if you look at the bond and leverage loan markets, institutional loans and bonds, we're talking around $300 million in 2019, $400 million in both 2020 and 2021. So this is significant. And of course, what about the Fed itself, all those treasuries? And there is a large quantity that has to be refinanced in 2018 and 2019. And that is why the Fed is now starting to talk about what are they going to do with all those bonds. Because yields are already higher than when a lot of them would have been issued. So we are at this point where this is no longer an academic question. The Fed has got to make some kind of decision about exactly what it is they're going to do with all that debt. And the bond market is still pretty sanguine, because it is basically thinking that, and we should just look at the 12-month, and we will get an idea of exactly what it is the bond market is pricing in. Because interest rates right now are at 1%. And if we look at the 2 year, it's probably not that far off it either. There is the prospect we get an additional rate hike this year, but there isn't any great deal of evidence that there's anybody panicking in the bond markets. They are still betting on deflation. And what happens with the size of the Fed's balance sheet and how they are going to manage to reduce the size of it without causing consternation in a number of markets is really a very large question. But I suspect that what we can conclude is that they are going to be very cautious, and they're not going to hurry. So I think everything will be done in an incremental fashion. But with the Fed funds rate at 1% and the 12-year yield at 1%, and you know, we really should just to reiterate, look out to the 2 year, because what the bond market is pricing in is one rate hike in the next 2 years. So by April 2019, we will have one interest rate hike. Now, that seems to be an incredibly sanguine market. That is reflects an incredible degree of complacency. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not wrong, or excuse me, that they're not right, but it does suggest that there is no pricing in of any potential inflation, and that would seem to be at least not pricing the risk correctly. With stock markets down yesterday, then they were pretty quiet in here today. The S&P 500 was able to squeak out a positive day, and it was up about 4.5 points. The NASDAQ was also pretty much unchanged. It was up about 2 and a bit. And so we have not had follow through on yesterday's pullback. And the Russell was up and was able to recoup much of yesterday's decline. So we are certain there isn't any degree of a panicky environment either in the equity markets. And when we look at the commodity markets, then gold prices are hanging in there around the $1,250 area, but they really do need to sustain a breakup from this level to really confirm that demand is returning to dominance here, and that the medium-term progression of lower rally highs has been broken. We are right there. This is a pretty obvious area of potential resistance, and in fact it is resistance because price has been going sideways for a month already, and what we need is confirmation that demand is back in the driver's seat beyond the short term. The gold shares are have not been doing quite as well as the gold price, but they are at least testing the upper side of this range here. And I think if we were to see them above that $26 level, then that would be a very positive development indeed. What I think people will be at least comforting themselves with is that both gold and gold shares have been consolidating in the region of the trend mean, and that they have held the majority of the breakout from those lows posted in early 2016, late 2015. When I think, you know, what we're probably also going to see a lot of in the next couple of days is, you know, just how well are Trump and Xi going to get on. But the Shanghai A-shares index was in positive territory today, and it continues to represent a gradual, you know, pretty inert uptrend, and largely engineered. So not only do the banks represent a large constituent of the index, but they also represent a conduit for the government's flow of funds into the economy, and they also have held this progression of higher reaction lows. When we look at the Indian market, then I think there is a clear delineation here that this is a market that is being driven by a domestic demand story. It isn't so much that it is being led higher by its exporters. For example, you know, with the reform or the changes that have been implemented in the H-1B visas for skilled workers for the U.S., companies like Wipro have been in a medium-term corrective phase, but there is signs that even that is beginning to turn around here, whereas the some of the more domestically oriented plays on the Indian market have really been outperforming in no uncertain terms. The other market that I'm keeping a pretty close eye on is Taiwan. It has been ranging below this 10,000 level for what feels like a very long time. It's all the way back to the early 1990s, and this psychological 10,000 level has offered resistance on numerous occasions since then. It hasn't quite yet been able to muster the ability to break through it, but if it does indeed break above that level, then we would have clear evidence of a return to medium-term demand dominance. Now the sorry, that's not very good typing. The Nikkei is now testing the lower side of its range and in fact has moved to a new reaction low. The yen had strengthened up yesterday but did not capitalize on that advance. It is still holding here in the region of 110, and really a sustained move below that level would be required to really extend the dollar's funk against the yen. If the yen falls from here, well then that would lend an additional tailwind to the Nikkei. I think perhaps it is probably better to look at the Nikkei on a weekly chart, and it has now almost unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, so it is following the yen back to the trend, and now it is really a question whether this region around the trend mean is going to offer support, and a clear upward dynamic would really confirm that. And when we look at the European markets, there is I think an additional risk premium being attached to the potential for Marine Le Pen to win the French election. I think it still remains an unlikely scenario, because there are so many people who will remember that the National Front was were collaborators during the Nazi occupation, and that virtually ensures that older people will not vote for the National Front. So that represents a headwind to Marine Le Pen winning. What is perhaps more in her favor is in voter apathy, that the turnout is probably going to be lower than it has been for a long time, and the ennui associated with the market is probably at an all-time high. So that represents a risk which is not really being priced into the European bond markets at all, but it does suggest that the ECB is not going to be removing its stimulus. The Fed might be talking about reducing the size of its balance sheet, but they are further along in terms of the path to recovery than Europe or just about anywhere else. In fact, I think that if any country is going to follow the US, it would probably be the UK. The FTSE was down just a little bit in here today. It has held this break above 7,000. It is really probably due a pause, and it is getting one. But the likelihood is that, well, I think I personally, my hunch at least is that the 120 area is probably going to hold for the pound versus the dollar. But it really will need to sustain a move above the trend mean to break this downtrend, which has really been in evidence for nearly 3 years already. There is a great deal going for the UK, and the ability to plot its own course is something that I think is completely underestimated. But I think a lot will hinge on just how amenable both parties are to compromise. And that is certainly something that is going to contribute to volatility for the foreseeable future. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.